No, you can't do a solo podcast, Vixen.
Why can't I? Oh, it's okay for you to paw me and, like, have your way with me, but I can't have a solo podcast?
No.
Why can't I?
Because you're a girl.
Oh, well, you weren't complaining about me being a girl a few minutes ago when you had me on the floor. Give me the podcast.
No.
I'm taking the mic. This is Podcast X. I am Vixen, but guess what? I am alone this time. That's right, people. It's my first solo podcast. I ask that you be gentle with me. I am a little nervous. I had to wrestle the mic from Trenchcoat. You know, I have him tied to the chair and he's gagged. So I am reviewing Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8, Issue 1. Buffy, the series, ended after 7 seasons. The comic picks up like the series never stopped. Like, this is actually like the next season, Season 8. And I was a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. I was upset when it went off the air, but the actress wanted to go to Hollywood and be big star. She should have stuck with Buffy. So, we have this first layout of Buffy with the axe in her hand. And actually, she looks pretty close to how she looked in the series, which is really good. I think that's good. It's being faithful. In the series, it ended where Buffy pretty much had to destroy the town. And this story is about 3 months after this is all over with. First page is just a picture of the planet, and Buffy's kind of narrating for us. And the first thing she says is, the thing about changing the world is once you do it, the world's all different. And as we'll see, the world is a lot different from when Buffy was around or how the series ended. Next, it's a 2-page spread. Women jumping out of a helicopter with the full commando gear on. And Buffy is their general. She's the lead slayer. She even says, everybody calls me ma'am these days. And she's definitely not used to that. She's just used to being Buffy. So now she has a whole army of slayers now. And that actually, which is cool, because one of the things in the series was that Buffy was fighting alone. The whole premise was the one and only slayer. So at the end of the actual series, she was able to do it so that all of the women who were slayers are all now slayers at the same time. But she being the original slayer, she's their boss. And she even says, there used to be one slayer in all the world, and now there's 1,800 of us. So far... The artistry is pretty good. It's not a lot of detail to it, but it pretty much serves the purpose. Here we have Buffy and her team going into an old castle. They're all high tech now, where she's got a command center, people giving her orders. It's kind of cool in that she refers to her friend Xander, as I'm sure all of you remember Xander, as her watcher. Which, okay, is cool. You know, it's kind of like Xander was always kind of like the second banana. But in this case, he's actually in charge of something, which is something he always wanted to be anyway. That part is okay. It's actually believable because they're actually portraying them to be a lot more mature than they were before the world changed. So we have Xander pretty much directing Buffy, and I have this woman here telling him what's going on, and I'm sure Team Mafia would make some kind of comment about Xander, who wasn't the brightest bulb in the bunch, just telling a woman what to do. But you know what? Since he's tied up, can't say much of anything, can you? That's what I thought. Cool. Alright. So, back to the story. They're about to go into this castle. It looks like it's an old church. We have two very nasty looking creatures, and this is the first team that she's leading. I mean, this is this team's first venture into doing this, so she's pretty much giving them the directions on how to get over these, to get past the dead people laying in the aisle and start fighting the creatures. this is typical Joss Whedon style, where as far as Buffy has always been written, her dialogue is always written like she's a smartass, and he's got the villains pretty much talking like they're smartasses, where you have this villain, this dragon vampire looking type thing, which has got to be at least, what, 5 times Buffy's size? He's pretty much staring at her going, this one looks tasty. So, and of course, by Buffy being the smart aleck she is, she pretty much starts undercutting him and bashing his legs in, and she's like, thanks, I work out. So Buffy's kicking ass, and of course Buffy also gets her ass kicked. You know, it's always a back and forth thing. I'm feeling it. It's pretty good. So while Buffy's busy fighting with one of these creatures, her team is pretty much being circled by these other two demons. They're mocking her, sad little girl. You lost the element of surprise. You know, they're kind of like, you know, the S's are like sus. So it's kind of like a snake type thing. But little do they know, okay, while they have these two girls cornered, we still have more people coming in. And you have this nice little spread out of arrows going into their bodies. It's funny how they always make creatures have green blood. They're laying there, their body fluid just spilling out all over the floor. And actually, this is cool. One of the girls, I guess proving that they're still girls even though they're kicking ass. We got one girl chewing bubble gum and she's making a big bubble after she's annihilated these creatures. So that's something that a girl in Joss Whedon's universe would do. But while they've taken out the other two, Buffy, of course, is still one-on-one with the head creature. And he's still kind of like, you know, she's got this cross in her hand. And he's pretty much still treating her like she's just a dumb bitch. You know, oh, stupid human, I am no vampire. You think I fear the cross? So, yeah, she makes him taste the cross, slams it into the top of his head. And now she's like, you might want to start. So, like I said, same smart alecky humor. Now that they've actually killed all of the bad guys, now we're looking at the victims. On one of the victims appears to be some type of symbol carved into their chest. So, and that's always been something with the vampire series, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer series too, is that I was always looking up symbols and books and whatnot. This is really just a lot of talking going on here. The next plan is to go and look up the symbol. So we now have an outside view of the castle that they just, the old church that they've just stormed. While they're in the castle trying to figure out what's going on, at the bottom panel of this page, you see obviously someone levitating in the air. So of course, you know, it's a vampire. It has to be a vampire. In this changed world, we also have an army, which we still have armed. We still have armed forces and whatnot. But this time, Buffy and her crew are kind of like the army's enemies now. We have a general talking about they've got power, they've got resources, and they're just the scum of the earth, and they just don't understand. They've got a leader. So they're now flying over what used to be Sunnydale. Sunnydale was where she lived, but it was also what they called the Hellmouth. And any of you who saw the end of season 7, she pretty much demolished the whole town, and the town pretty much caved in on itself. Well, now we see here in this spread that still all that's left of Sunnydale is a big gaping hole surrounded what looks to be by desert. Buffy's pretty much, she's the badass, and we've got to get rid of the badass. Next page, people excavating and looking around. It looks like they're down at the Hellmouth trying to investigate what was left behind. It's their typical setup where you always have in all these like horror things where you have the scientists going down and, oh, there's nothing down here. Ah, you know, okay, that's kind of typical. And of course, they don't let you see what's going on. I don't know, that annoys me a little bit. I want to see my villains. I want to see my monsters. But I guess we have the whole suspense thing going on. Okay. I give it that. Now we have Buffy and Xander sitting around analyzing the symbol. Just pretty much doing what they used to do in the series, which is actually kind of cool, where I can see how they put Xander in the Giles role, where he's actually researching, he's explaining, and Buffy still being Buffy just looks at the surface. At one point he's like, I think, you know, it has to be something deep, and she's like, eh, it just looks like squiggly lines. By this point I'm wondering, okay, where's the rest of my Buffy crew? And sure enough, he mentions Willow. And we mentioned Dawn. So for those of you who know, Dawn is Buffy's sister. So not only has the world changed and Buffy's changed, apparently Dawn has changed too. Apparently Dawn, She's about 5 times Buffy's size. I don't know what it is with this larger-than-life thing, but she was turned this way because she was dating a thrice-wise. I guess we'll find out later what that is. But basically, apparently fucking one of these things makes you about 10 feet tall. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe about 50 feet tall. So yeah. So I guess the message we're getting here is, girls, don't give up the pussy, you know, because something bad's just going to happen to you. I guess maybe this is kind of like a premarital sex talk or whatever. So Dawn is locked up in a dungeon. She can't do anything because she's twice her size. I mean, or actually, like I said, 50 times her size. So it's just Buffy bitching at her. Well, I told you not to get with him. Everybody told you not to get with him. You should have been in college, blah, blah, blah. So she's still got that mom thing going on with her. And Dawn is pretty much like, oh, just shut up. You get on my damn nerves. Pretty much they're just on as close as they used to be. Buffy has her moment of reflection, which is always cool, that she has her moments where she's by herself and she's just talking about she misses home, she misses her mom and everything. And even she talks about missing sex. I tell you, these are just some sex-obsessed girls. Well, I can't really complain. I understand that. But like I said, you know, it's kind of jacked up. You know, Buffy's first experience, you know, she had a bad experience. For you Buffy fans out there, you know, the first time she got with Angel, he became bad. And now Dawn got with somebody and she's like giant now. So, is the message here, like I said, is the message here again, just don't fuck till you're married? Yeah, okay. I waited. Anyway, Buffy's trying to like give herself that self pep talk that she always does after she's killed somebody, and then she starts to get scared all of a sudden, and then she's pretty much like, well, hey, I'm the Slayer, snap the fuck out of it. I got no choice. We're now going back to this army now that is gunning for Buffy and the crew. And we have this guy looking into this window. It's almost like those doors you see at like the mental institutions where you can look at the window, you can slide the window, see the person that's inside. So his eyes are going wide and he's just like, Lord, how is this thing alive? And the scientists there are basically saying, well, obviously it's magic that's kept this thing alive. And just talking about it's a monster and how it's been kept alive, and somehow this particular monster, as they called it, survived the decimation, or basically when Buffy and her slayers turned Sunnydale into a big black crater. The scientists are saying apparently this was trapped inside and somehow managed to survive. So they're saying this thing is coherent, it can speak, and the scientist goes, which here we have a little bit of foreshadowing going on. He says that her first words, because apparently this is a female, the first words were, I'm gonna help you kill her. And of course, we all know, okay, she's talking about Buffy. Who else? So they're pretty much going, do you think she can help us? And what does she want? And the general is just like, you know, what can we do? And the scientist is just like, if we could release it and give it full immunity, that the woman or thing or she, it, or whatever you want to call it, wants full immunity if they take Buffy Summers down. And finally he says, and well, she wants a lot of cheese. So for you Buffy fans out there, that's, as soon as I saw it, I was like, all right, I know what this is. This is the first clue. I know who this is because I am a Buffy fanatic. So any little phrase will tip me off, and I'm sure it'll tip off all the other Buffy fans out there too. And then he's like, do we have a name on this nut job? And sure enough, last page, full page, Amy. She says her name is Amy. And we just have a picture of this woman who I'm sure all the Buffy fans know who Amy was, but she's obviously insane. She just looks insane. She just looks like there is nobody home there. And she's bandaged all the hell up. Who knows? All right. And it says to be continued. So overall, I would say, because you had the same person who did the series, who wrote for the series doing the comic, I could pontificate and whatnot. But hey, it's Podcast X. I'm Vixen. I just get straight to the point. It's good. It was cool. It was beautiful. It did my heart good as a Buffy fan to see it continued. So I will say that the art wasn't all that great, but I'm kind of like T-Mafia in that way, that the art doesn't have to bowl me over. It's nice, okay, if not okay, but I love the story. I would say, you know, the graphics were pretty good, but overall, to rate this as a Buffy fan, I would give this a 9. 9 is pretty good. Not quite a 10, but 9 is good. I'm looking forward to all the other issues, and I know we had this conversation back and forth about how comics cost $3. I would actually invest $3 in each of these issues. So I think that's a pretty good vote. Well, listen, thank you. This is my first solo podcast. Please, again, Be gentle with me. Again, I'm a novice at this. I'm not a virgin at too many things anymore, but I was definitely a virgin. This is my, you know, I busted my cherry. I broke my cherry on my first podcast. So I hope you would in turn give me a kiss and leave the money on the table for me.
Buffy.
Buffy.
Hey, this is Trenchcoat Mafia. I'm glad I was able to somehow work my way free of having been tied up by Vixen, who really needs to learn how to tie a knot so it like stays and people don't do that. So yeah, fortunately I worked myself free, chloroformed Vixen, so she was knocked out, raped her, and here I am in front of the mic. Yeah, you would think I'd be too exhausted to do this, but I have to review Vixen's review. It was a first podcast, what can I say? Here's the real review of Buffy 1 on the cover, first of all. That's not an axe Buffy has, that's the Slayer Scythe from Joss Whedon's Frey series. It also made an appearance in Season 7 where Buffy got her hands on it in the first place. Of course, this would fall into the category of covers that have nothing to do with the contents inside the comic, which annoys the fuck out of me, but hey. I just wanted to mention that Slayer Scythe, let's see, what else? I actually took notes for once. It's interesting that Joss Whedon based the character of Buffy Summers on Kitty Pryde, and then he winds up doing Kitty Pryde. Doing Kitty Pryde. He winds up writing Kitty Pryde and Astonishing X-Men, and now here he is doing Buffy and Kitty. Okay, you know what? This is going nowhere good. Let me just stop right now. This is turning into like a Starhawk monologue. There have been Buffy comics in the past, but they're notable mostly for all sucking. So this is actually the first good Buffy comic. So aside from the fact that it's actually continuing the TV continuity, it is notable for that. Of course, this has everything to do with the fact that God himself, Joss Whedon, is writing the book. In the letters page, somebody actually equated reading those old bad Buffy comics as drinking Ovaltine when you have a chocolate craving. I thought that was amusing. You know what's annoying on this cover, too, is she's got the t-shirt that has the Buffy the Vampire Slayer logo on it, and that seems to be a theme, because on the cover of issue 2, Xander has a patch on his jacket that has the Buffy logo on it, and it's like, okay, a bit much. And, as far as, like, reviewing Vixen's review, I wanted to mention that she called Buffy the general of the Slayers. Yeah, I've never seen a general lead his troops in the field, but, well, there you go. You know, Vixen chick flicks never would have seen a war movie, so how would she know that? It's a shame this comic isn't about Faith, because she was the hot vampire slayer, which has nothing to do with anything, but they do promise her in issue 6, so let's get our hopes up there, I suppose. Oh, yeah. I was talking about the old Buffy comics. There was one Buffy comic that wasn't terrible. It was called Tales of the Slayers. It wasn't terrible in the fact that they actually had a 1930s-era Slayer who was actually pretty cool, or at least that story was cool. Of course, I just may be being swayed by the awesome Gene Colan art in that story, but hey. Something Vixen glossed over, the Buffy decoys that they mention early on in the story. That's interesting because there was an episode of Angel where they revealed that Buffy was off, like, fucking some guy called the Immortal. Meanwhile, Angel and Spike were, like, trying to find her so they could fuck Buffy, and they gave up because they were told this, and it turns out that's just one of Buffy's decoys, which is a pretty clever way of opening up things story-wise for Buffy that Joss did here. Also, yeah, I know that's, like, an inside thing. The Immortal is supposed to be some, obscure romance vampire character that some other writer came up with stories for back in the 70s in her romance books. It's like, whatever, I could care less about that. You know, one would think that I would have a problem with this whole Buffy the Vampire Slayer thing in that it empowers females, which of course is always a terrible thing, but here's why it's acceptable, and this is why I've come to terms with the possibility of Hillary Clinton becoming president, because I'm figuring that even if she does, Bill will still be running everything behind the scenes, letting her take credit, whereas she won't actually be doing anything. Well, it's a similar thing here in that I can deal with Buffy because there's always a guy in charge, whether it was Giles, as it was in the TV series, or Xander, as it is here. You know, okay, it's a guy telling chicks what to do, and they obey the man. So it's all as it should be. And speaking of Xander here, he says 5x5 to indicate things are okay. I like that because that's another obscure, semi-obscure Buffy reference. Faith would say that back in the day. Talking about like the, yeah, I just can't help doing the tangents, can I? The romance vampire thing too. That is all the fucking rage now. You have L.A. Banks and Laurel K. Hamilton just cranking out the shitty as fuck romantic vampire stories, and people used to rag on Anne Rice for this. At least Anne Rice had some kind of style. I mean, her really purple prose is appealing in its own way if you like shit that's over the top, like I do. But all this Anita Blake type stuff, I mean, it's just crap. It's stuff to make chicks feel better about themselves. Anita Blake, for example, the premise is that, okay, she fights vampires, and also she fucks everything that moves. Well, this is for every chick that's going to be reading those stories. It's like, wow, yeah, I'm not a slut. Anita Blake is the real slut. No, no, no. Bitches, you're sluts. Get over yourselves. And, moving on. Oh, I see. Vixen is, stirring. Hope she doesn't come to, and I'll have to rape her again to, you know, knock her back out. Oh, yeah, yeah, these monsters were cool. They have the sibilant S's, and that just reminds me of Stegron the Dinosaur Man from the old Spider-Mans, which has nothing to do with anything, except Stegron was cool. Timmy Thume, by the way, Thume at comicbooknoise.com. Download, listen. He was ragging on Hammerhead, one of Spider-Man's old villains, who had no powers except his head was shaped like, well, like an anvil, actually, but okay. Yeah, I find all those old Spider-Man villains like Stegron and Hammerhead to be so incredibly corny that they're actually cool. But hey, maybe it's just me. I like that line, in this scene here, where Buffy says, "I feel a little weird about using a crucifix to kill someone." And, Redhead, and of course you know she's an evil slayer, she's a redhead, she says about the crucifix, using it to kill someone, "You didn't know much about religion, do you?" Oh, that's one thing. We have these bad foreign accents in here, and I don't know how I feel about that. I'm amused on the one hand, but it's pretty distracting. Like when Buffy smashes the cross through the one monster's head, there's green slime everywhere oozing out of his head. She's like, "That were a wee bit repulsive." Well, okay. We've got stereotypes all over the place. We've got the, well, actually, this chick's not a stereotype. She's just hot. The one chick here with the bubblegum. But yeah, the German chick who's like a da. Well, yeah, she's all, looks like she's been, like, eating a lot of strudel. Then we have, you know, the Japanese slayer chick also being a stereotype. We see she's into, like, gadgets and shit, and it's like, yeah, okay, I get the message. International slayers, yeah. Okay, so, it's kind of the new X-Men here. You know, we've got all the, or the original Star Trek crew representing diversity via stereotypes. I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, I want to praise Whedon for the fact that even though he uses the military in this story, that Riley is not in this story because he sucks and needs to die. For those of you who never watched Buffy, and if you never did, I don't know what's wrong with you, but Buffy is about, like, these losers, these geeks, these outcasts, and at one point they bring in this military squeaky clean, goes to church, loves his mother, Riley character. Everything about him is annoying, and the fans just totally... This dude was like the Wesley Crusher of Buffy. Yeah, I'm glad that he didn't give in to the temptation to use him. Also, Whedon's wit is still there. There's some great Whedon lines in this. Like, this is just a total snark fest, and that's a good thing, by the way. Yeah, like this caption here, where Buffy's thinking, Xander's so stupid when he's right. That's funny. That's pure Whedon. I mean, when Jeff Loeb and Brian Vaughn, when they come on to do future issues of this, it's just not going to be the same. What else? Oh, yeah, Giant Dawn. I just wanted to comment, even though I'm not reviewing issue 2. Although, who knows, maybe this episode's going to run really short, and I'll wind up doing that after all. Yeah, in issue 2 of Buffy, and it's doubly cool because Dawn's a giant. I don't know why that's cool. It just is. Dawn is totally fucking naked, and Xander's just watching her, and she's letting him because she loves it. She loves to be watched. Yeah, they introduced Buffy's sister, and it was cute because she was this little, short, flat-chested kid, and in between seasons, she becomes taller than Buffy, and she's got, like, a giant chest. It's like, whoa, okay. But anyway, where was I? I got distracted by thoughts of giant, naked Dawn. Oh, yeah, Buffy's a lousy sister, which, of course, is actually one of the reasons that Buffy is great, is that she has flaws. I mean, her and Dawn were getting along better, but she's kind of being a bitch here, and the fact that Dawn's been turned into a giant, and Xander has to talk Buffy into, like, seeing Dawn to talk to her at all, it's like, yeah, bitch. But, of course, that's, again, one of the reasons Joss Whedon's stuff is so great, is because you could believe that Buffy is a real person and not some one-dimensional, I don't know, DC Comics character. I like Buffy Summers, I just hate Sarah Michelle Gellar. But, yeah, she's, her plans have worked out well. After all, she is a big movie star now, isn't she? Sure. Yeah, okay. On to the last scene of the story here. And my suspicion is that, because, okay, they're talking about, like, Amy and this monster dude, thing, creature, survived the destruction of Sunnydale. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I know I'm going to wind up being wrong with my luck, and say that this other dude, what they're calling Amy's boyfriend here at the end, is Adam from the only arguably lame season of Buffy, although Adam himself was a relatively cool character. He's like half zombie and half cyborg. What I'm getting that hunch here from the mention that Amy's, quote, boyfriend is requesting access to a weapons lab. Because, like, that's what he would literally do, is he would upgrade the weaponry that's part of his body. And it's like, okay, you know, actually, given the advantages of the comics medium, and that you can draw things and people to look way more horrific than they actually are, given the budget limitations of a WB/UPN show, Adam may wind up looking pretty cool in the comic, although I kind of doubt it, because, no, this is not the greatest art in the world. I wanted to mention, because Vixen forgot to mention, Buffy and the Slayers are in Scotland, although that really doesn't mean much of anything. I just wanted to mention that. There seems to be, like, something going on here, because I looked up Thricewise on the internet, because I wanted to know what turned you into a giant if you fucked them, and although I didn't come up with anything relating to that, apparently a Thricewise ties into Norse myth somehow, which is interesting, because there's a comment where Buffy says, and this was also a great line, "Great Muppety Odin." Okay. That's one of the more interesting... I got nothing, actually. Yeah. And, you know, I normally hate full-page splashes, but the full-page splash reveal of Amy at the end is pretty awesome. Yeah, so except for the art, in which case I will second the meh reaction, I also have to give this a 9 out of 10. I'm pretty much only docking it 1 point because of the art, which is, it's not exactly bad, but it's pretty pedestrian. The story, of course, being Joss Whedon is awesome, and this book is awesome. Issue 2 was awesome. Everything Buffy, in fact, why he was ever wasting his time with Firefly when he could have been doing more stuff with the Buffy and Angel universe, I have no fucking idea. And at one point, I know I was asked, hey, what's a better show than Red Dwarf? To which I would begin my response with, Buffy? But okay, yeah, 9 out of 10. Also, in addition to, because I already promoed Thum, I think at some point, Comic Book Attic is another good podcast, and that's linked to off our main page. Leave comments on iTunes, and as always, if you're going to leave negative comments, at least entertain us. Oh, I wanted to take a moment to express my grief at the passing of Kurt Vonnegut, who's the rare person I actually respected. Yeah, okay, I didn't read, like, his last couple books, so shame on me, but it's a shame he's dead, and it's interesting how the universe works, like, it gives and it takes away, because at the same time, we lost Johnny Hart, creator of BC. But as opposed to Vonnegut, that's a good thing. I'm glad Johnny Hart's dead. No, really, he was an asshole, seriously. Like, okay, so I don't get this wrong. I looked this up on Wikipedia. Check it out. Easter Strip, 2001, BC. It, quote, portrayed a menorah with seven candles progressively burning out as the strip captions ran the final words of fictitious character Jesus Christ. At the end, the outer arms of the candelabra broke away, leaving a Christian cross, with the final panel portraying the opened and empty tomb of Christ. Ugh. Okay, I don't even know where to begin with this. Okay, because then Wiki goes on to quote this dude who says that was replacement theology, like it's a whole thing, you know, Christianity supplanting and destroying all other religions, and this was like heart promoting that. And okay, you know, that's just too heady for me right now because I'm recording this at 4 a.m. But yeah, real subtle. Just, you know what, asshole. That's all. Asshole. Again, glad he's dead. On that note, Kurt Vonnegut, rest in peace. Johnny Hart, burn in hell.